Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Well, what a week it was, and I am going to start off with the highlight for me in the WNBL was the Capitals' double win. This is a team that has lost back-to-back games against the lowest-placed team in the league, and they stamped their authority on the win and a double win, beating the Boomers and beating the Flyers. Boddy, that was my highlight.
And a good one too, and I'm actually going to follow suit and say I was very impressed with that, but also the fact that they then went in to play Southside, who were the league leaders, who sadly lost Jenna O'Hay last week for the rest of the season with a broken wrist. But they went in there without Kelsey Griffin and with Keeley Froling being unnecessarily injured in that win over Melbourne in overtime. So you've gone in there, perhaps well, they've got eight players and a couple of the players in that eight don't play much, and they've gone out there and they have flogged the Flyers from start to finish. This was no small win. They were never behind. They were fantastic. They really exposed the Flyers that how important Jenna O'Hay is, because without her, they look really, really bad. Really
don't
bad.
They? I want to talk about that Froling incident, but we're going to talk about that a bit later because I think there's some words we need to do. What was your highlight in the NBL?
Highlight in the NBL was the fact that we wrote off New Zealand yet again the previous week. After they lost two games, we thought, well, that's it. They're done. And then they turn around and they beat Sydney, and then they thrash Melbourne to put themselves back in the picture. And at my website today, I've done – or actually yesterday, I think, I've done a thing about who I think will finish battling out the four. And I think it's going to come down to New Zealand and Brisbane now battling it out for fourth spot. I don't really rate Adelaide – or Melbourne anymore. And I think Southeast Melbourne is just skating too close to thin ice. So my highlight was the fact that the Breakers just turned around and from a position where they had slumped again, now they've put themselves back 11 and 12. They're right in the hunt. How about you? What was your highlight?
Well, my highlight is something similar where teams we've written off, and I got to be honest, I have not been on this wagon at all year about Brisbane, but I do want to pay some credit to them and Lamar Patterson. I thought the Brisbane Bullets, even though they played a very weak Illawarra team, let's be honest, I thought that Lamar Patterson was great. 20 points, 7 of 10 from the field. He did not miss a shot inside the arc, so he made all six of his attempts there. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Yes, he had a number of turnovers, but he was just brilliant. And I know you said between Brisbane and New Zealand, I'm not going to argue with you there. I think it'd be great. I do want to touch on that, though, what you're saying. So you're saying Sydney 1, Perth 2, or other way around?
I think the match between Sydney and Perth in Perth coming up in a couple of rounds, that will be a pivotal game in deciding that. And I think that's the way it should be, really, don't you reckon? The two of them have to play it and the team that wins, given that they probably will finish on the same record at the end of the season, that would give, well, it'll be on percentage, but Perth should be the team that finishes top, I think, if they win that game.
And Cairns 3, I assume you're saying Cairns 3,
absolutely.
Which you will agree. Yep, and then you've got it. So Melbourne gone, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's they can turn it around. Anybody can turn it around. I mean, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, all they have to do is win their last six games. I mean, it's not impossible. It's not impossible, but
no, it's not.
It's unlikely not, because the margin for error is very small. Now you look at the talent on that Melbourne team, and you think, yes, they're capable of still being in the hunt. But you know, I look at who they've got left. Let's see now quickly. They've got Sydney away, and then they've got Perth at home, and they're currently 11-11. So on the way they're playing, you would expect that they would lose to the top two teams, so they'd be 11-13. Then they've got to go into Brisbane. So they could potentially be 11-14. And after that, it doesn't really matter that they've got Illawarra, Cairns, South. It doesn't really matter. At 11-14, they're not going to recover from that. So that's why I'm sort of thinking Melbourne may well be done. I was just so disappointed in that performance against New Zealand. Weren't you? Yeah. I mean, 68 points. What are you doing?
Yeah. For a team like that, 68 points. That is unbelievable. The number one thing we know is that we don't know what's going to happen because
we're good at that. We've mastered not knowing, yes.
WNBL wrap time.
So it's WNBL wrap time. Some fantastic games on the weekend that have been played, but I'm going to go straight into the games this weekend because we know the four set, body, right? We know. Flyers one, Boomers two currently. Boomers two, Capitals three, Lightning four. Do you see that changing? I know on your website again, BOTINAGY.com, you're saying the top four. How do you see that finishing? And then we'll get into the games and what's happened.
Well, Southside still has two games to go against Adelaide and Sydney. They're both at home. I would expect them to win at least one of those. And they only have to win one, and that clinches first place because the other two teams can't catch them.
Yeah, but, Boddy, can they?
Yeah, they can beat Sydney. I'm sure they can. I can look, they could get Adelaide too if they sort of...
I'm really worried about this team.
Yeah, but they flogged Bendigo. They sort of got the job done. And I'm just worried about the way they played because I was really, really disappointed with Leilani Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I think for an Olympian and for what she's achieved in the game, you know, championship with the Flames a few years ago, the way she played defense was pathetic. She was just standing there like the Matador D. People just drove past her like she was a road cone. And I just haven't seen that from her. She only really wanted to play at one end, and I'm disappointed with that. And we're looking at the Tokyo Olympics this year, and she's, you know, obviously the first choice point guard. Well, maybe you got to revisit that if she can't guard anybody. I mean, Madison Rochie had a 19-point career high in that game. And of course, Kia Nurse was phenomenal. So I don't know. I'm concerned about them, but I certainly think they can beat Sydney because now Sydney's lost Alice Kunick to an elbow injury. Colleen Planetta, Talia Tapia, and now Alice, who is their shining light. So I would be stunned if Southside couldn't win that. At home as well.
Yeah, it's nearly a race to who can stay the healthiest.
Yeah, you know, like absolutely. That's the case.
It's some interesting. So obviously we start on the round with the Capitals taking on Perth at home. Based on what the Capitals did last week, you'd think that should be a good and easy win for them.
I wouldn't say easy. I think they played really to their maximum. You know, I don't believe in that. Oh, they played 110%, 120%. That kind of stuff is nonsense. They actually played up to as well as they could possibly play.
That's a Wednesday night game as well.
Yeah, that's
a Wednesday night. Yep.
That's the postponed game from a week or two ago when the bushfires were such
bushfires.
That you couldn't
exactly.
breathe in Canberra Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't expect it to be easy though, Brad. I really don't. But I do expect Canberra will win because I think they're just – they have every reason to feel good about themselves. Kelsey Griffin's very close to playing. She's got a bit of a hammy last week, which is a bugger because she'd been coming back from an ankle injury. So to get a little bit of a strain in the hamstring was not something they really wanted. And losing Kelly Froehling now for 3 to 4 weeks, that upsets me because I think the incident that broke her nose and fractured a cheekbone was completely unnecessary. Sophie Cunningham sort of jumped into her. And I mean, accidents happen in basketball. We've seen that. But when you lead with your elbow, okay? When you lead with your elbow at a person's head height, I just don't buy that. That's completely like, oh, I didn't know what I was doing, or that was a complete accident. I think the WNBL really needs to act because immediately after that play, she then lined up Rochie with a hip and shoulder, which was pretty bad. And I just think you can't tolerate that. We've got a head.
No, you can't.
You got to protect the head.
That's where I'm at. Now you can take, but you got to protect the head. Now the Capitals lose an absolute gun. And you know what's the compensation? I don't want to say compensation, but what's the reward? There isn't, and that's not fair. I think something should be done about that. I know you wrote about it as well in your article, and I agree with you. And I'd be shocked if they don't do something about it. And if they don't, you got to ask questions. Why?
Yeah, absolutely, you do, because it's just you've got to protect players' heads. And Abby Wierung from Bendigo Spirit got knocked out during this season. Same player involved, and she was out with the concussion protocol for 3 weeks. So, you know.
But can I just say, what about Kelly Froehling? She played on.
Sensational.
12 points, nine rebounds in 40 minutes of basketball with a broken nose.
And the winning bucket. Don't forget that.
Unbelievable. So, like, man, jeez. Shout out to her. That was just
absolutely brilliant.
That is tough as tough can be. We back it up two nights later with Perth still on the road going to Bendigo. Well, that could go anyway. Perth's second game of the road. I'm going to go for, would you call it an upset? But I'm going for Bendigo.
No, they're the last place. That would be an upset. I'm going for Perth.
All right. I just said that because I knew you'd be opposite. Right. Melbourne Boomers going to Townsville. It's a tough one. I think the Boomers will win. Obviously, they'd be disappointed with the loss to the Capitals last week, but they bounced back against a good win against the Flames on the road. I see them continuing up there.
Yeah, likewise. I thought Townsville actually played quite well in Adelaide, but even though the final margin, I mean, Adelaide scored the last 8 points, so it blew out to a 17-point game, but it was 9 with just a couple of minutes to go and still, you know, precarious. But then to go into Perth and get flogged by 33 a week after you've beaten Canberra, the defending champion, by 33, that's disappointing, I think, Melbourne.
Yep, agreed. So then we back it up as well. There's a doubleheader that night, and it's Southside versus Adelaide. This is the game. This is a great game. This is the game of the round.
Yep, and I'm actually expecting Adelaide to get that. I think they're playing quite good basketball, even when they lost a week or two ago. They're playing good ball. And Southside, you know, that was such a disappointing performance. I expect Leilani Mitchell to come out and play well, especially after me criticising her. But I like Adelaide to get that.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm looking at the ladder and I can't see much changing there, because even if the Flyers were to lose, they'll still be in first, the Boomers, yep, Capitals and Lightning. We're all assuming, well, you and I are assuming, that they're going to get wins there. And then we round out the weekend, the Capitals at home, so they get a double home game. But like you said, one was because of the Flyers, yep, and they play the Flames. They'll just roll on. I think they'll beat the Flames.
Yes, I do too. So I'm thinking that then bumps them to 14-6. And if Melbourne beats Townsville, they're 14-6. So it's getting down to the sticky end, you know, of the season.
Mate, I want to pick up something with you. There was a lot of bit of social media about the streaming of the WNBL. Did you get anything from this? Have you heard anything? What's going on there?
I think there's been some problems. I think there's been some problems out of Bendigo. I think Bendigo didn't necessarily follow the WNBL guide as to how they wanted it done. I think they've got their own bloke and they're doing their own thing. So there's some issues out of there, and they've had some problems, but I think they're working very hard to make sure that in 2021 it's pristine. So we've just got to take a few lumps at the moment.
And before we finish on the WNBL, I just want to ask you a question. You know, I've obviously monitored this so much more this year because I love doing our podcast, and I've always watched the women's because I've enjoyed watching it. But obviously this year, a lot more in depth than I had previously, I'll be honest, yep, with that. Yep. Do you feel, where is the WNBL, and I'll go with talent and then the league in its own, compared to previous?
Oh, it's in a good place, but I think the talent level and the amount of WNBA players that we're getting here that are legitimately good WNBA players. Then, you know, when we get an NBA player, it's usually somebody that sat on a bench for a long time.
But or retiring.
But with WNBA, we've got like Mercedes Russell, Kia Nurse, Brianna Turner, Lindsay Allen. You know, we're talking about Ariel Atkins. We're talking about real quality WNBA players, and we've got a lot of our Opals playing in the competition. So the level is very good, but we tend to forget. We're just so insular in terms of, what happened this week and what happened last week. We forget what happened a few years ago when we had Lauren Jackson playing in our league, best player in the world. Mm. We had Penny Taylor playing in our league. You know, we've had great eras. You go back a little bit further, and we had Michelle Timms, Robin Maher, Rachel Sporn, Carla
Boyd, that's
Michelle
Brogan, the era that I grew up in. Yeah, the era that I grew up with. And I remember going to the Flames, and I've mentioned this so many times before. I'd go to the Flames because they play before the Kings, so I get the two games. And, man, I loved watching the Flames. And they won a championship. I was there one year. It would have been early 90s. It was phenomenal. Trish Fallon, Annie LaFleur. Yes. It was just phenomenal.
See, and you're rolling out a Hall of Fame list of players. So when we sort of look at the competition now and say, geez, it's good, and it is. There's no question it's excellent. It's a quality competition, but it always has been. It always has been. It just hasn't got the notoriety that it's getting now because of the names that are coming. But we had a lot of sensational players. You know what? You keep saying that you were there in that era. Were you just a bodysuit perv? Was that what it was?
But how am I meant to answer that?
It's a straightforward question. It's a yes or no answer.
Or.
Okay,
you gave me a yes or no. I chose or.
Ooh, I know. You did a Will Weaver on me.
I was just going to say, is that Will Weaver response? Oh, look, I loved watching them play. And yep. The body suits didn't hurt a little bit. I'll be saying that. It was nice to watch that, I'll be honest. But it was brilliant. Great. Did I get around that okay?
Yeah, but those of you that are listening, you know where to send your complaints. We've got an email address.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think we're up to 8 now. So all 8 of them are going to be...
Cut it out. We broke double figures last week. I'm sure of it.
You reckon? Yeah. Are we counting family now? And you and I watching it after the show or listening to it after the show. You heard it here first. Brad and Body podcast. Body is in the know of the NBL. It's awesome. WNBL.
It's NBL rap time.
Well, NBL rap time, what a week it's been. Body, you and I sat here about a week ago and we said anything could happen.
Yep.
Now you just don't know. We expect this team to do this. I thought Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, I said it. I think they're going to lose to Perth. They'll fire back. They'll come into Sydney and they'll beat Sydney.
Yeah.
Ba-bow. How bad would Phoenix? Wasn't happy with that. Brisbane, we just don't know what we're going to get. You never know. But, geez, it was a good round of basketball. And, I mean, you've already mentioned your highlight was the New Zealand Breakers.
Yeah.
But, phenomenal. Man, are these teams I love watching. We've got 4 rounds to go. I'm going to start with Thursday night. Brisbane playing Southeast. If Southeast lose that, are they done?
Yeah, well, I think they're done now, Brad, because they're 9-13. If they get a 14th loss and they've got 6 games to go, if you've got a 14th loss, that means the best you can do is 14-14. That won't get you in. That won't be good enough. So I think they're right on the precipice right now, and I think Brisbane will knock them off, and that'll be it, unfortunately, for a great debut season, but that'll be the end of it.
Can the Illawarra Hawks on Friday night back up their New Year's Eve massive win against the Sydney Kings?
Well, here's the question. Are they going to, load manage poor old Andrew Bogut? Are they going to load manage Brad Newley? He's getting a little on. Daniel Kickett, perhaps he should go and lie down on the lazy boy for a night too. It depends. If Sydney takes their team in there, they'll kick Illawarra's ass. But if they do this same nonsense that they did last week, that cost them the game in New Zealand, cost us both a tip. Thank you very much, Brad. Yeah, they need to go. What was your take on the Bogut load management?
But I think it's the right thing.
Okay. Well, I'm the opposite. I think if it was an 82 game season, 8-2, then I could understand it. But it's 2-8.
He's got to travel across the ditch, and then I think it was like a 4-hour bus ride or something to get. Mate, he's 7'1". Like, you just let him be. You're on top of the ladder. Now, I do agree that if it comes back and play well against the Phoenix on Sunday, he was fresh and he was healthy. I hadn't seen what I'd seen out of him in that first quarter and the game, but more so the first quarter. I hadn't seen those fresh legs from him for a while. So I liked it. I thought fresh he just legs. Got away. He did what he did. And I do agree. I'm not a fan of load management. I hate that honestly. Word. But I don't think that's a load management. I know that's the word, but when I look at that, that's just going here. They're doing that, getting back, doing all of that. Now, I know the product of that is load management, but load management, where the bloody word load management got, I don't like what it is. I think they did the right thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not sure. I just don't understand why it never occurred to the Boston Celtics to load manage Larry Bird or for the Chicago Bulls to load manage that Michael Jordan character or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How old was he when he finished playing? 106? And he only missed about, half a dozen games. You know, I understand that today's athlete is a little more precious, but I just don't believe it. I think it's a nonsense.
I can't argue with that. Well, let's move on to Saturday night, Body. Your boys, Adelaide 36ers, Jekyll and Hyde, I think we'll call them, are playing against Brisbane Bullets that are coming off what we believe will be a win against Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. What team's showing up this week, mate?
Yeah, that's the thing. We just don't know with Adelaide. You just don't. You can't trust them. And for that reason,
tell me the last time someone scored 38 points and dominated like DJ did that didn't win a game?
Wouldn't you? I can't recall it, but wouldn't you have liked to have seen somebody else also step up and go with him?
Yeah, well, that's what the problem is, isn't it? That's where you can see it. But I was reading about Adelaide and I was looking at their stats. Mate, they can't stop a bus at a bus stop at the moment.
Mm.
I'm surprised for a team that's, they're not, when you look at the individuals, they're not awful defenders.
No.
I'm sort of a bit shocked the way they're playing defensively. Unlike Joey Wright is the first thing, because I love him as a coach. But when you look at these guys, Tees and Drimmick and White and, you know, DJ can guard people. Your Jerome Randall, okay, he's more offense than he is defense, but it's not like he can't defend. You got Griffin.
Well, he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But you got Griffin, who's an athlete and, you know, can come from, you know, protect the rim.
Griffin's a shot blocker. He hasn't got a clue on the defensive end. He's a shot blocker. He will step off and he will get somebody. He'll do the spectacular. But all you got to do with Griffin is you just drive on him and you just do a hesitation. He immediately stands up, gets straight legged, and then you just continue on and lay it up. You know, honestly, he's the worst, one of the worst defensive players, the worst defensive imports I've ever seen. And it cracks me up that various people want to nominate him as defensive player of the year because of his shot blocking.
No way.
That's the thing, though. They don't play at the defensive end consistently. And when they do, they came out against United 2 weeks ago, were very good at the defensive end, and the offense flowed as a consequence of it, or as a result of it. But we're just not seeing that now on any week-to-week basis. And you sort of go, at what point do the players have to take some responsibility for their performance? I saw a really good piece with Greg Popovich from the San Antonio Spurs. I don't know if you saw it, Brad, talking about, you know, does a plumber have to be – does someone have to psych your plumber up to have a good game? Or, you know, when he comes into your house to do the plumbing, does he have to be psyched up, or does he just go and do his job to the best of his ability?
You're talking to an electrician here, so I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that's great.
I hope you're a tradie that shows up on time. Now, when you say you're going to be there between 8 and 10, it shouldn't be at 12, should it? What's that
I always
about?
Say I'll be there between 8 and 10, 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. I'll see you soon.
The trading
so
code,
based
folks,
on that, folks. Yeah, I'll be there soon. So based on that, who you got, Adelaide or Brisbane?
Look, I've got to go for Brisbane, but this is exactly the sort of game that Adelaide can lift for and get. You've got to go with the odds are.
I'm going for Adelaide. I think Adelaide will win. And as you were saying about the defensive end, I couldn't agree more. For me, Griffin and best defensive player, no, please. Me, Newbill or Magne, I've taken out Deck. I think Deck is unbelievable, but I'm going to go for Newbill or Magne, and I can't go across Newbill.
What about the Magne last week? 6 blocks.
Yeah, look, brilliant. And don't get me wrong. I don't know how you're going to change. They're both playing brilliant. I just love what Cairns have got, and I think they deserve it. But anyway, that's just me. Right, what about this game? Can New Zealand go into Perth and get it done on the road? Me, no. You?
I think they can, but I don't think they will. Right. Because I think the Perth is rolling, and Bryce Cotton, I wrote earlier this week that I think we just sometimes, you get to a level with players who are so consistently good that you take it for granted. Oh, 25 points, 7 assists. Oh, yeah, that's a nice game. Whereas, you know, someone else has that game and we'd be doing cartwheels going, gee, where's you see so-and-so had that? So I think we take Bryce a little bit for granted. And Miles Plumley, if the referees just let him play. Did you see that block that he got called for a foul?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, guys, put your whistles away. I mean, it's just that was the most over-officiated game I've seen in a while, and many of them have been. So, no, I expect Perth to win, but I that's the thing, you see. That would send New Zealand to 11 and 13, and everybody would be jumping out again saying, oh, they're gone.
Yeah.
But I think they can pretty much win every other game they got this season. I think they've got Adelaide, Illawarra, Brisbane, Phoenix.
Do you know what I love? Everyone literally has got their playoffs in their hands.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because they're playing teams that are with them. Yes. So you talk Adelaide, well, you want to get there, which I don't think they will, and I know you agree with me.
I don't think they're getting there at all. No, I think they're going to win one more game.
Right, but they could because they got Brisbane. Then you look at the Phoenix. Well, they've got Brisbane this week, and then the next game is they're playing Cairns. So, you know, you win both of those, you're a show. Now, can they? Don't know. Will they? We'll see. But I love the fact that everyone, Melbourne United, well, they've got to come into Sydney and beat Sydney. But we'll talk about Phoenix versus Cairns because that's the next game and that's on Australia Day on Sunday. What's your thoughts on there? I'm going to go for, a lot's going to depend for me on that Friday night game. Oh, sorry, the Thursday night. But I think Cairns can get that on the road.
I do too. I think they need, look, they've only got one more home game, and that's against Illawarra. And Illawarra is the one team that they've been bunnies for. Illawarra's gone three times.
And don't forget, this is also the game that Cairns literally won until they coughed the ball up and Robeson hit those threes.
Yes.
That, you know, Mike Kelly, coach of the year, shout out to him. But Mike Kelly is going to, you know what he's like, he's going to have them humming. Unbelievable. And I want to say, have you seen three imports dominate a team like these three?
No, I don't think we've had three this good in one place.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to go back into, you know, all our listeners, Body says 10, 11, I'm saying 8, whatever it is. But whoever's double listening, Mum, hello. But if we do that, I'd love to know everyone's thoughts. Get us at on Twitter, Brad and Body, or Instagram, or email us, or whatever you want to do. You'll see us. And I'd love to know anyone's thoughts, but I can't get it, Body. I can't get anyone that's got three imports that were as good as what these three are producing. I'm not saying what their caliber is. You look at Melbourne, there's three outstanding imports, but they are not bringing it. I'm saying who's bringing it each game.
There's no argument. No argument whatsoever.
So who you got, Phoenix or Taipans?
I've got the Taipans winning that.
All right. Moving on to the next one. Big one. Kings, after playing Illawarra, go home, just up the highway, an hour, playing Melbourne United, that everyone has said, done. Forget it. They're cooked. See you later. Thoughts?
Is there going to be any load management? Like, is Will Weaver going to have to take a game off? They're going to have to go lie down in the back room.
You're a dog with a bone, aren't you? You are a dog with a bone.
Oh, load management. Anyway, Sydney's going to win that, and they're going to win it well, because that's really going to send a shockwave through the United fan base, which is just waiting for them to turn the corner. But I don't think they can. I think they're in a maze. Every time they turn a corner, they just come to another dead end. You know,
the last five games, they've won one.
And they're not. It's not even the fact that they've only won one, Brad. It's the way they're losing. They're not. There's no harmony there. It's a real look. I'll tell you one thing we haven't spoken of. I'm curious. I should have done this before we came on air, but I'm wondering how Melbourne has gone since Paul Henare left the bench.
Oh, good one.
Because they started poorly because of the NBA commitment, so we took a little while. Then they got going, and they were going really well, and we thought, oh yeah, they're where they want to be. And suddenly Paul Henare takes a job in Japan. You know, I think they're really missing the wisdom that he's a great coach. It's just a thought.
That's a great one. I love that, what you're thinking.
Here comes Nudges Nasty.
Well, it's that time again. Give us your Nudge Nasty.
All right. I tell you, I watch a lot of the games on TV, as I know you do too, except when you're there, watching John Robeson go off for 24 points in the first half and three in the second. But when you're watching in the lounge room and they go from live action to a replay, it just does my head in, because I missed, everybody missed, Casper Ware hitting a three at the end of a quarter, because they've gone to a redundant, stupid replay that was totally unnecessary. I mean, the only people that get this right are the telecasters in New Zealand. Like all the Breakers games, they show you exactly the replay you want to see, and they show it in time where you can see it, and it's not going to compromise the live action. This has been going on all year, and it's at some point, surely the NBL, which is in control of its own product, should be saying to its directors, do not show replays while live action is on. For God's sake, surely that's just rule number one.
Uh-oh, Rosen's rattler.
I'm going to go a little bit off tangent. The first one I wanted to say, interviewing Danny Morso, I got to interview the legend that he is on the game on Sunday. I don't usually talk about interviews and things like that on this podcast, but what
last week.
A gracious, yeah, not since last week or the week before, but what a gracious man he is. You know, like people have to understand, I'm a 48-year-old guy that played in the league, played whatever I did, and I captained the Kings, which was an absolute honour. But I still get chuffed and I still get goosebumps when I see players that were before me that were just angels of our league. I still get it when I'm around Andrew Gaze, right? Guys like when I see Cal Bruton, when I saw Butch Hayes, when I see these players that, you know, Andrew Vlahov, and I can keep going on, Mark Bradkin,
yes,
and Copes, even when Copes was an assistant at the Kings, every time I'd see him, I still looked at them as superstars of this league. They are, but I still get it. And when I see a guy like Danny Morceau and get the chance to interview him, it was just brilliant. And he's like, you know, Brad, he was so nice and he wanted to, you know, he shared his story online. And I just wanted to say that for me, that was an absolute privilege to be able to interview him. And that was without a doubt my Rattler. I want to throw in a little side one, but we did discuss it before. And I want to say the Andrew Bogut load management. Sorry, I just cannot understand why everyone's kicking up such a fuss because the bloke took a game off. Maybe what they should have said is he had diarrhea or he's crook and he couldn't do it. But they did the right thing.
Much better.
Yeah, I hear you. But I do think for one game, I think it's right. And for me, look, for all we know, maybe it was an injury. Maybe it was an injury. They just didn't want to say
it. That's all you are. Yeah, come on. Stop cheerleading. Let's get back to Danny, because I want to say I was lucky enough to see him play when he first came down from Queensland to play for St Kilda, and he was a phenomenal athlete. Unfortunately, I was also in the building at the Apollo Stadium where he wrecked his knee in a postseason tournament between West Adelaide, St Kilda, Launceston. So it must have been around 81, 82, because at Launceston had just won the NBL. St Kilda had gone away to the World Club Championships. Geelong had just won the Siebel competition were coming in. So it was in 81, yeah. And I saw it when he actually wrecked his leg. And he was always a great player afterwards, but never quite the same. And it was a tragedy that night, but he had a fantastic career. And I completely concur with everything you said. I feel the same when I see the iconic basketballers walking around, Leroy Loggins. You turn back into that fanboy that you were when you first saw him. And they should be treated with reverence that they deserve and they earned.
Couldn't agree more. And for that, that is the best way to finish. You said it, buddy. I want to give a shout out to your website. I tell you, you've done some articles this week and I've loved reading all of them. There is a lot. You must be really bored or the missus have told you to get out of home or something. What's going on there?
No, you had it right. I'm just bored.
BOTINAGY.com. It is phenomenal reading for all our 7, 8, 9, 10 or 11 listeners. Whatever you are.
36.
36?
Oh, no, I just thought... pulled a random number.
That is random because that's three times more than I reckon. But I do want to say, get on there and get onto his website. It's phenomenal. You've got to have a good read. He hears it all. Obviously, subscribe, like, review. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And to all our 396248 listeners, thank you so much. And good luck for this week for all around. Body, thank you. And we'll see you next week.